Welcome back to Left of Normal, where everything that isn't right is left, and everything that is left is right. I'm your host, Scott Seary. If you haven't done so already, please hit the like button for this podcast, leave it a review, post a comment, whatever's available on the platform you're listening to. That would help me out a ton as the algorithms enjoy those things and distribute them to more people. While you're at it, if you subscribe via Podbean, then you get first dibs whenever a new episode is released. So today we have a guest on our cast. I welcome guests just about any time. So if you have a great story, a brilliant insight, or just think that people enjoy listening to the sound of your voice, send me a message, leave a comment, maybe write your request on a note and include it when you send me a mint condition 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle rookie card. Today, our guest is Amy Taylor. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you, Scott. I'm happy to be here.
All right. So I like to start out with some questions about our interactions. If you've listened to other episodes, guests, generally we go through history together and kind of all that. But I met Amy recently through social media group, and we really don't have any other interactions other than some emails and some posts on Facebook and LinkedIn. So I got to change it up a bit. So Amy, what were your thoughts about my view of the autism spectrum based on the handful of episodes you have listened to? And just as a reminder, folks, I have encouraged my guests not to worry about hurting my feelings with their responses because I don't actually have any of them.
I think my view is very similar to yours, as I have a daughter with autism, and so I'm already aware of a lot of the traits and different ways she processes things. But I enjoy your sense of humor, and I have really enjoyed listening to your show.
All right. Well, thank you. Let's see. How aware, obviously with the daughter on the spectrum, you are very aware of autism and kind of how it affects people and how people on the spectrum act and interact. What are the biggest things that you've learned over the years that kind of make you look back on other interactions throughout your life and say, oh, well, now that makes sense?
Well, I think that my daughter, I took her to get diagnosed at 5, and they said she had all the signs and symptoms, but she had too much eye contact. So they said she couldn't be autistic. So we went years and years without having her diagnosed, and finally school got really rough in middle school, and I took her and she got diagnosed at 12. She's 13 now. And so I have a lot of looking back moments going, oh, she wasn't trying to get my goat or trying to get under my skin. She was having difficulty with something, you know, and just realizing that her anger and outburst had a reason. And once we figured that out, the outburst stopped.
Yeah, that's a good insight. Once you know that the anger isn't actually anger coming out, that was last week's episode. I think you had linked to that on LinkedIn. How has the understanding of left of normal or just the autism spectrum generally, anytime I say left of normal, I refer to the autism spectrum just because I like my own words for it. How has it changed the way you act and interact with people in general? Just if you meet somebody on the streets that is kind of quote unquote acting up.
I think I'm more understanding and open to people acting differently. I don't expect everybody to act the same anymore. And I take into consideration that everybody has a different story and is coming from a different place.
Yeah, and even for the normies out there, you never know what's going on in their life that's changing their behavior in the moment.
True.
So has this podcast, this community, or your understanding of the spectrum opened your eyes to anything in your own life and your own personality?
Yeah, I've actually questioned whether I'm on the spectrum and noticing lots of things about my daughter, and then hearing you talk about how looking at someone and you're thinking and thinking and thinking, and I do that. And so I think that it has definitely made me realize that I at least have some traits.
Yeah, and you did send over some information, so we can talk about that a little bit here. Tell us about yourself. What are you up to? What do you do? What got you to this point in life and all your other neuro spiciness?
Oh, yes, I am a social worker, and by day I work with disabled individuals, either intellectually, developmentally, or frail and elderly, and I have a lot of members who are autistic. So I do that during the day as well. And then I'm an MBA student at night, and on the weekends I have a podcast called Advancing with Amy. And I call myself the mental health warrior and neuro spicy mama. But I'm trying to get information out there and end the stigma against people with neurodiversity and against people with mental health diagnoses.
So, you said you work with a lot of people that are on the spectrum through your social work. Kind of what services or what support do you provide?
I actually go in and assess them and see what they need and what they want their life to look like, and then try to provide those supports for them, whether that be helping them find a job or getting someone to come in and help if they need someone to bathe them or do their laundry, or it could be anything.
So are these mostly independently living already? They just need some more services, or are they group homes, or all of the above?
All of the above.
And so I'm guessing the podcast that you have is more about people living similar to this podcast, just some information, how to understand the spectrum, how to understand, I guess, more neurospicy behaviors. And how we can all interact and get along together. Tell us more about your podcast, and do you have like a business, like a group or a book or anything that goes along with it?
I do not have a book yet. I want to write one, but I haven't got one yet. I do have a business called Advancing with Amy. I plan to start life coaching with NLP in this spring or summer when I finish my practitioner certificate. And my podcast is a little different. I speak with people that either have lived experience, so it's an interview-based podcast. Or I speak with people that help people that need help. Like I've talked to yoga coaches and psychologists and life coaches and just anybody who's willing to give advice on how to deal with anxiety or how to help someone that, is on the spectrum, that kind of thing.
And with these interviews, they're all professionals or just anybody that has experience.
Anyone that has experience.
And you said you do have a business that surrounds it. Is that kind of, tell me how the two of them work together, the podcast and the business.
That's a great question. I actually hope to build my audience and that because I just started in January with my podcast. I know you've had yours a couple years now or more.
Yeah, right around 3 years, I think.
Yeah, that's incredible. So yeah, I just started in January, but I hope to build my audience and then take that audience and market to them and hopefully find some people that are interested in my life coaching.
Yeah, I don't know if you checked it out. It's been probably 6 to 8 months. Susie DeBar was a guest, and she does NLP coaching as well. So might be interesting to listen back on that interview with that episode of this podcast.
I will check
And
that
so
out.
kind of get you some more insights on what you're getting yourself into. What would you say is your mission in life? Kind of in other words, what would you like to be known for while you're alive and even after you're gone?
I would like to be known for Ending this helping in the stigma. I think there's a lot of people just like me out there doing the same thing, but helping in the stigma, like we talked about, and just offering people hope and making people feel better about their lives and know that there's no reason they can't live a fulfilling life still, even if they're diagnosed with autism or anxiety or ADHD or anything.
Yeah, I've said it several times before. We don't need, what is it? Autism awareness. There's all these awareness groups out there. I think most people are aware that autism's a thing. Now we just need autism acceptance.
Yes.
And so, like you said, in that stigma, let's just all work together for the greater good. What do you see as kind of the biggest hurdles that people on the spectrum are facing, whether it's their own internal hurdles or the stigma coming at them from exterior forces?
I think it's exterior forces is the biggest hurdle, and I think that right now the one my daughter is facing is school. They think she can do more than she's doing, and said it's a matter of can't, not or won't, not can't. And I disagree. So we're going round and round at the school.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about that. It sounds like she's high functioning, high intelligence, which kind of puts her into that weird category where I fell into most of my life, where I appear normal mostly because I can mask really well.
Yes, that's exactly where she is, and she's almost to that mark of being gifted. She tests right at almost that level, and she's an incredible actress. She played Ursula in The Little Mermaid Junior in her fall musical at middle school, and she was amazing. So she's a very talented young lady, and I forgot where I was going with this. What was the question? I'm sorry.
Now I'm trying to remember as well. So it sounds like high functioning, able to mask really well, so she comes across just as neurotypical, where a lot of people that are, I think they call it level one Asperger's or level one autism instead of, or used to be called Asperger's and, high functioning. There's various terms. If you talk to different groups, some of them get mad at all the different terms and they just want to be called something different. But so it sounds like she can play the part of a neurotypical, but it's exhausting.
Yes, she comes home from school just worn out and grouchy when she comes home. So I know that I need to leave her alone when she comes home. I let her go to her room and do her thing. And then when she comes out and is ready to talk, then we can talk about her day.
That's a good point. I brought it up about the rage episode. Just, once you recognize that in the kids, trying to talk to them while they're in that zone, that overstimulated, it just compounds things. It makes it way worse than,
Yes.
wait a little while, let them, my son goes and plays his piano sometimes. That's kind of one of his little outlets. He
That's
plays, it's not long, it's maybe 1 or 2 minutes, just pounds through one of his songs that he knows, and that just releases all that energy into the keyboard, I guess, rather than hooting and hollering.
great.
So how much, you said your daughter does a lot of acting, or did in middle school at least. I think she's 13, would still be middle school, probably just about ready to go to high school. How did she get into that? How long has she been doing that? Did you see that as a gift when she was younger and then encourage it?
Yes, I did see it as a gift. She was very into playing with puppets and loved to put on little shows and had a little theater. And when she got into middle school, she automatically drifted to the theater kids. And there's actually a few theater kids that are also autistic. And so she has befriended them. She has found her tribe there.
Yeah, and for myself, I found that, stage performances, I just did a little bit, dabbled here and there, like in college. It was easier because you have to put on a performance as someone on the spectrum, you have to put on a performance all day, every day anyway. So you might as well put on a performance that people know you're putting on a performance. It's actually less work to get on stage than it is to try to act like a neurotypical person.
Exactly. And I was actually told that by someone who is neuro diverse, that when they were acting, they actually learned a lot of scripts to use in their normal, regular, everyday life.
Yeah, you're reading through the scripts and you're like, what? This what normal people actually think and talk about? I guess I'll just implement that.
Yes.
All right. Is there anything else we should know about life, the universe, everything?
I just think be kind to each other and accepting of one another. And the best thing you can do is educate yourself. I read, when I found out my daughter was autistic, I read a ton of material on especially girls with autism and masking, and it's very helpful.
And then just be careful what you read. If it seems to go against the grain of what you inherently know to be true, I know there's quite a few books written by doctors that talk about vaccines causing autism or healing from autism, overcoming it with essential oils and various other forms of voodoo. They don't work. If you listen back on previous episodes, go into some of the science behind that. It's literally you'd have to reshape the brain to heal from autism.
Well, and I love my daughter just the way she is, so good.
Yeah, and some of the communities I follow, it pops up all the time. It's like, would you, if there was a cure for autism, would you do it? And 90% of the comments, no. Like, this is who I am. I wouldn't know how to function if it wasn't, I'd have to completely learn how to do life.
Yes.
All right. Are there any, let's see, before we sign off, can you tell us how people can follow you? Where are your Facebook pages, LinkedIn pages, websites, podcasts, all that?
You can find me under Advancing with Amy on Facebook and Advancing underscore with underscore Amy on Instagram and Amy Taylor on LinkedIn.
All right. And do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's www.advancingwithamy.com. And you can apply to be a guest there or listen to my podcast there as well.
All right. And I'll have all these as a link in the description too, so people don't have to try and jot these down if they're driving in their car, listening, and trying to get into car wrecks and running over children. It happens to all of us at one point. All right. For now, you've had a peek into the world where everything left is right. And if it feels right, then it must be left. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, join the Facebook community. You can ask any questions you have over there. There is the opportunity to ask anonymously, so you don't even have to have your name displayed. And remember that girls on the spectrum are often much more overlooked than boys on the spectrum. So if you have any suspicions, pay extra close attention to the girls in your life. And of course, share this podcast with your friends, whether they are left, normies, or right.